You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Feb 11, 2021. And still no call from the Biden White House to our best ally in the Middle East, Israel. No call. No call to Netanyahu. Why? Well, they're just not giving a reason at the White House, and they will not give a date on when he will reach out to Netanyahu. What he did do today, though, Joe Biden did call the Chinese Communist Party leader. Actually did it yesterday on the occasion of the Lunar New Year. They're just now letting us know more about this. And he said, we plan to remain committed to working with China as long as it serves American interest. And Biden said in an interview with CBS last weekend, I know the Chinese Communist Party leader pretty well. He's very bright, very tough. I don't mean it as a criticism, just a reality. He doesn't have a democratic bone in his body. Biden, by the way, also today stated China will, quote, eat our lunch. Eat our lunch. He was talking to the reporters today about the phone conversation last night. He said, if we don't get moving, they're going to eat our lunch. Well, now contrast that to what he said in 2019. In 2019, while a candidate, and everybody's trying to show what Trump had been doing to deal with China, Biden stated, China is going to eat our lunch? Come on, man. He was criticizing Donald Trump's tariff battle with China. Do you think he's going to remain tough? Let me put it this way. You don't need to open a fortune cookie to read there will be no real harsh line against China for a variety of reasons. And it may well come down to Biden, Hunter, and other connections. Just something to watch, right? In the meantime, China's still insisting we're not responsible for COVID. It did not originate here. And in fact, our scientists just told the world health experts who were here, there's nothing in our lab that contributed to it. But the world health experts were not allowed to go inside the labs. They were simply told to parrot the report given them by Chinese communists. An Australian microbiologist and infectious disease expert who was with that world health team said there is no evidence that the Chinese virus originated anywhere but China. No doubt, in his opinion, that's where it originated. And yesterday, another member of the World Health Organization team said, we have been blocked from even entering Wuhan for months. We finally get in, and we're still not allowed to go in the lab. And all we're told is just take our report, and our report says everything is good and clean. And here comes this story out of South Korea. They are now beginning to test cats and dogs for coronavirus. Apparently in South Korea, they documented the first human case of the virus involving a pet kitten in recent weeks. Just pointing that out. Weather-wise, the ice storm and cold gripping much of the nation, blamed for a major freeway crash in the Texas-Dallas area. At least 100 vehicles, at least 5 dead, several injured. Speaking of injuries, that 5-year-old child injured in the crash involving former Kansas City Chiefs coach Britt Reid, according to her family, remains in a coma. She could use your prayers. Reid, the 35-year-old son of the Chiefs coach, He's on administrative leave now. According to the police report, he admitted he had been drinking prior to the accident. Democrats, of course, are pushing forward with a $15 federal minimum wage. They pushed it through in the early morning hours of yesterday, almost the dark of night, trying to slip it under the door. When they've been told repeatedly, you're going to cost a lot of jobs. And now reports that you're also going to add to higher child care costs. Saying a 15 minimum wage would hike child care costs by almost 20%+ across the nation. Are they really helping Americans or making them suffer more? You'll see. You'll see.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
If you think disinfecting a home or office for COVID is way too expensive, I've got great news for you. Wellington Environmental can disinfect most homes for less than $300. I know you were thinking the cost would be two, three, maybe four times as much. Wellington can professionally disinfect most homes for less than $300. Cost for most offices, not much higher. You get the same professional treatment that Wellington provides hospitals and nursing homes. Also, Wellington is selling professional fogging devices. The cost, $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors and save $100. Here's a phone number to schedule Wellington to treat your home or office. 314-644-4930. I urge you to get on the schedule early. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Here's what's going to happen. If we start to get good information out to the American people, Republicans have a good chance of taking control of the House in 2022. Mm-hmm. Now, if that happens, and let's, for example, we don't know what's going to happen to Hunter Biden's laptop. We don't know what's going to happen with the Durham investigation. But I could see the pressure will become great for us to actually have to impeach Biden. Now, look, I don't want to do that, but you're going to have people that are going to be saying that. And so we're going to be asked to kick members off their committees. So all the members, every one of those impeachment managers that you just played Congress that they were advocating for, every damn one of those guys could be removed from their committee in 2 years. That's where we're headed if the American people don't stand up to this nonsense.
The words of Congressman Devin Nunes, Republican of California, on the Sean Hannity program last night, predicting if we're going to go down this path, basically, all open, anything and everything will be in play. If the Democrats want to do this, if this is what the American public thinks is right, then maybe it'll be time to impeach Joe Biden. If they ever get a full inquiry into the laptop by Hunter Biden and find additional connections between him and daddy and monies from China, Ukraine, or wherever else he was involved in some little scheme, because daddy was a VP at that time, well, then everything should be in play. You know the Democrats don't want to see that happen. But you don't see any of them standing up against this mob mentality. And I'd be willing to say there are probably several Democrats that even went along and voted to, okay, let's impeach Trump a second time in the House, and they're not really in favor of it. And may well be some Democrat senators the same idea, saying this is not going to end well if that's what we're going to start doing. I read you some quotes the other day from a Democrat congresswoman. I want to say off the top of my head, out of Ohio. I could be wrong. But she was saying that this Democrat Party is not the party it was when I first came into office. And she's one of the longest serving women in Congress. And she's acknowledging it doesn't reflect the middle America where I am. She's right. But they are in control now, and they're pushing all the buttons. And Biden, they pull his string, he's going to do it. I just told you in news and commentary how he just finished a phone call with the Premier of China, Premier Xi, and said, you know, if we're not careful, this guy's going to eat our lunch. That's what he told reporters today. He's going to eat our lunch. And yet, in last year, when he was still in campaign mode, and criticizing Donald Trump imposing tariffs on China, he mocked that idea. He said, China going to eat our lunch? Come on, man. In other words, it's never going to happen. Now he's admitting, yeah, it could happen. And he knew then. He knew then. I assume he knew. But now he's trying to act like, I'll be tough. I'll be for America. Don't count on it. But if we're going to see things like this go forward, if he had some deal, or his son did, and he got some payoff involving Hunter Biden in some of those deals, now you might actually be in the category of high crimes and misdemeanors and treasonous activities against the U.S. Or it could mean nothing. But does it have to have a fact at this point? Do you need facts to proceed? Well, if you need facts, apparently the Democrats aren't going to bother with him at this point. I want you to listen to Congressman Jim Jordan, Republican of Ohio, pointing out four things he said that need to be kept in mind, four things regarding what's at stake here, how we got here, and four facts which are being ignored.
There's four principles and four facts. Four principles. This is unconstitutional. There was no due process afforded the president. This does grave harm. Thirdly, does grave harm to your First Amendment free speech rights. And fourth, it doesn't unify the country, as Joe Biden said he wanted to do just a couple weeks ago. And then the four facts that never change. How did the president incite a breach of the Capitol when the FBI knew ahead of time this was pre-planned? When pipe bombs were found ahead of time, before the president even had the rally, when Capitol Police asked for additional help, they asked for the National Guard to be there, and when the president specifically said, fourth and maybe most important, specifically said, peacefully and patriotically, make your voices heard. So four principles, four facts will not change, no matter how much video the Democrats show and no matter how long they talk. Those things are fundamental, and the American people, I think, instinctively understand those key concepts and key facts.
I think they do, too. I think they do. But if you're in the midst, if you're standing over there and listening to all this and watching the video, the slick Hollywood production put on the screen for the senators to show that there's reason to impeach Trump, showing the mob violence and showing parts of his speech, always ignoring an 8-second clip where he says, go peacefully, and exercise your First Amendment rights. I played it repeatedly last hour. I played it yesterday. You know it exists. They know it exists. They just don't want you to know about it or hear it over and over again. Sucks to be them if they heard my first hour. They heard it repeatedly. If you missed the first hour, remember you can always go back and get it. You'll find all these programs put up as a podcast at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Also, LarryConnorsUSA.com. LarryConnorsUSA.com. You'll find several sections of these programs also up on YouTube now. Larry Connors USA and YouTube. In other words, we're everywhere. But to this issue of the Democrats just pushing and ignoring the facts, it's like they have taken the the remark they have repeatedly stressed that Donald Trump did say, fight like hell. He made those remarks at the rally. And to them, that's the spark to the led to the explosion. That's a stretch, wouldn't you say? But if you're going to use that, how then you compare language from the left repeatedly over this last summer? And we're going to get in, before we wrap this hour, we're going to deal more with how the Democrats have not only accepted violence, but they have been guilty, or should be found guilty, of inciting. And I want to remind you, this story that we got the other day from AOC, while she was cowering in her office, just fearful the mob was going to get to her, and even CNN, they called it a near-death experience. There's no near-death experience. It was all her drama about how bad and dangerous and frightened she was. Now, in the last hour, again, if you missed it, I was reading some of the information in an op piece written by Erin Hawley, the wife of Senator Josh Hawley. Erin Hawley is also a lawyer, had been a former clerk to Chief Justice Roberts at one point. And she's telling how a mob gathered outside her house when it's just her and her seven-week-old baby on January 4. And they continued to use bullhorns, shouting out to them, come out, come out. And she actually went to the door and said, it's just me and a baby here. Can you leave? And they wouldn't. Police finally came and made them disperse, but they littered the lawn and threatened to come back again. Now, that was a real near-death experience, in my opinion. A woman with a baby in her arms, I assume she had the baby at that point in her arms, when she went to tell them, please, please cease and desist. That was a threatening situation. There was nobody there to help protect her whatsoever. The senator and his sons were in Missouri, but she could not travel with a baby only 7, 8 weeks old. Have you seen the mainstream media pick up and run her story even a couple of times versus dozens of times they reran the AOC? I was frightened. I was scared. I thought, I'm close to death. No, you haven't. And by the same token, I've got this report here in front of me, a photojournalist for CNN. That means a cameraman. I'm not knocking photojournalist and camera title. They know they're a cameraman, and that's what they do. They document. They always have. You want to call them photojournalists? Most old-line photographers say, I'm a photographer, and I get the facts on film or whatever. So you want to call them now photojournalists, that's fine. But he was working for CNN, and he wrote a piece of what happened on January 6th. His story is almost as scary as listening to AOC. Listen to part of this. He begins, is this how I die? I am perfectly still. I can't make a sound. My back is in spasm. I huddle with three others behind a bathroom door, locked inside a Capitol office suite. We're hiding from the source of the roar filtering through the walls, the voices of thousands who want to hurt me, hurt me, hurt me. He suddenly, it's all about me. He explains in the next sentence, but let me point something out. He is actually in the Capitol building. Not like AOC. She was not in the Capitol building. But here he says, as a journalist, I've been behind the lens for too many mass casualty events. Am I going to be one now? Sitting on the floor of my back, leaning against the toilet, tile cool through my clothes, lights are switched off, there are blinds on the window, but even in the cold, overcast day, it's bright enough to see. A colleague gingerly leans over the sill to catch a glimpse of the mob three floors down. He twists the blind shut, quietly. Gasps from a colleague shift my attention. She presses three fingers to her forehead, eyes squeezing shut, a grimace on her face. Crying, but no tears. Gee whiz, that's a Hollywood script if ever. Well written. Hey, I'm not gonna call you a photojournalist. I'm gonna call you a great novelist. That's well written. That is about as much bunk and drama as we got from AOC. But at least in this case, he was in direct danger. You want to contrast that with Erin Hawley and her baby facing off mob at their home? Leftist state-controlled media, are you listening? Senator Lindsey Graham says, again, when it comes to this impeachment, they don't care about facts. They're all willing to go with whatever fiction they can find.
The managers have got this cockamamie idea, absurd theory that Donald Trump was monitoring the Proud Boys website and other far-right websites, and that he and Dan Scavino knew this was going to happen, and they encouraged it. That is Looney Tunes. And you know why they're saying that? Because if the president didn't know, and it was actually pre-planned, he's not guilty. So for the first time today, they're trying to create a storyline that Donald Trump was in on it before it happened, that he was monitoring the Proud Boys and other crazy websites, and he knew they were going to come to Washington and with violence on their mind, and he encouraged it. That is beyond bizarre. This is not evidence. This is a liberal Democratic novel being presented as evidence.
Senator Lindsey Graham, right on target. And again, they've already gone now from whatever he said that day to all the things he was saying in the past, put them all together. And are the fact that they think now maybe we can find some other connection. They don't care about facts. Don't want no stinking facts. I want you to hear coming up here in a moment. Once again, let's go back to Don Lemon Fruitcake and his attitude.
Jimmy's in the back with a pocket of heart. If you listen close, you can hear him cry. Oh, Lord, heaven knows we belong way down below. Sing it.
Oh, Lord, heaven knows we belong way down below. Way down below, way down below.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
No amount of lawyering in the world that can ever gloss over what the president and that mob did. David Cicilline, getting to the heart of the matter. Would any of this had happened if it hadn't been for Donald Trump?
Does anyone in this chamber honestly believe that but for the conduct of President Trump, that a charge in the article of impeachment, that attack at the Capitol would have occurred? Does anybody believe that?
Does anybody believe that? Do you believe that? That's been my whole point. If it hadn't been for the big lie, the sustained lie, they wouldn't have showed up at the Capitol.
Those are the words of Don Lemon Fruitcake talking about the big lie and that Trump is responsible for what happened on January 6th at the Capitol. And there you heard Congressman David Cicilline, one of the House managers of the impeachment, saying, does anyone believe that Trump is not responsible? Well, Senator Rand Paul says, everyone objects to the violence. Everyone's horrified by the violence. But the question is, did the president incite it? That's the issue. But they don't care because that might not fit their narrative. And here comes Hillary Clinton, who is yet to concede that she lost the election to Trump. She's now saying about this second impeachment, she says, if Senate Republicans fail to convict Donald Trump, it won't be because the facts were with him or his lawyers mounted a competent defense. It will be because the jury includes his co-conspirators. See how they're going after anyone? There are 44, 45 Republicans have said that were indicated they will not vote to impeach, don't think it should even be held. So now they are co-conspirators. Will they be the next ones hauled before an impeachment? Cruz, Hawley, and others? In 1923, Hitler was trying to organize an overthrow of the Weimar Republic in Germany. And his 2,000 Nazis marched and were confronted by police. It ended up in the deaths of 16 Nazi Party members, 4 police officers. Hitler was wounded, escaped, But then after 2 days, arrested and charged with treason, sentenced to prison. And during that time, he dictated Mein Kampf to a couple of fellow prisoners. Then after serving only 9 months, he was released. And he went back to then trying to overthrow the government by political means and propaganda, as opposed to what he had tried previously in the streets. MSNBC published an op-ed yesterday or the day before comparing Adolf Hitler's ability to speak and sway others at his 1924 trial to what Donald Trump would be doing if he was speaking at his impeachment trial, saying that there are inherent risk in giving Trump a megaphone. He said, yeah, you can subpoena Trump, but make sure you can neutralize his message more effectively than German prosecutors did with Hitler in 24. Last month, the Philadelphia Inquirer published an op-ed by the paper's former editor making several comparisons between Trump and Hitler. November CNN anchor Christina Annamapour recalled Kristallnacht, noting that Trump's presidency was also a modern-day assault as the Nazis did during that time. They don't care about facts. We do. Stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
It was really absolutely horrifying and chilling. The kind of terrorist attack that we don't really often see this much video from. And I have to say, Dana and Abby, that when I look at this video after the buildup of months and months that we covered, and then the video from that day of Trump telling his supporters to go down there, and then they did what they did. I have to say, in all likelihood, this will be Donald Trump's legacy.
So says Jake Tapper, CNN, NNN. What he does not say, which we have pointed out for you numerous times, when he says, when Trump said what he said, and then they went down there and caused the violence. You are supposed to follow the bouncing ball, as Jake Tapper has it, jumping for you, that when I say what Trump said, that Trump, quote, said, attack police, look to kill police and legislators, destroy the Capitol, overthrow the government. No, there are no such words. None. Nothing even close. The closest thing would be to say, fight like hell. And how many Democrat candidates have also used those kinds of words during their campaign? We're going to fight for you. Well, in fact, just recently, newly elected Senator Warnock of Georgia said, I will fight for you. Well, that's fighting words. You think he should be impeached? Of course not. Well, what if somebody goes out and gets in a fight with someone, says, well, I came here to help fight with him. Can you really put that upon the senator? No, you can't. Unless it's a Republican. And then everything's fair. And you listen to Jake Tapper talk about how this was horrifying, chilling video. He's talking about the video that was shown to the Senate the other day as they began the impeachment trial. And yes, I don't like the video at all either. I don't like what happened. I've called those out who took part in it. They should be punished, even if they were there just as part of the mob and they kind of got caught up in it but didn't do anything other than walk into the Capitol. Then they probably should be held accountable to some extent. You can't charge everyone in there with stealing Nancy Pelosi's nameplate, can you? Only one or two people got parts of it, so you can't charge everybody with that. It's obvious you had to draw a line somewhere. You can't charge everyone who walked in there with the various crimes they're trying to pin on them. It won't work. It would be unjust. And yet there are some that should be held to a higher degree of accountability. But again, this leftist attitude of just, it's absolutely horrifying and chilling. I don't know. They must all be attending the same drama class as AOC. They must all come together at classes at different times, and I haven't seen the schedule. I'd like to. I'd like to sit in on the class. But I'd like to see how they come up with some of this language to invoke fear, empathy, sympathy, understanding. I'd like to see how they do that. I read in the last hour a piece from, or rather actually earlier this hour, a piece from a journalist for CNN who was inside the Capitol. Now remember, AOC was not inside the Capitol when she talked about her near-death experience. This guy was inside the Capitol. And he wrote a very fascinating, extensive piece on what he was fearing and what was going through his mind. It's his thoughts, his approach, and maybe some embellishment, maybe some pulling and tugging on emotions and heartstrings. But that's the way he did it. And the way it begins is this how I die? Well, there you have it right there. That kind of sets everything in motion. And he and others are hunched down behind a bathroom door inside a Capitol office suite. He said the walls don't feel like protection. They might as well be made of paper. It sounds like these people are in the room with us. They scream and curse. It's deafening. I hear my producer say, "Oh, God." The adrenaline surge leaves my muscles heavy. My heart beats in my ears. A knot in my stomach holds me down. He said, this is the type of fear, something I never understood as a journalist. To fully grasp it, it must be experienced. Time stands still. And then he begins to compare it to the numerous stories of shooting survivors he's interviewed and covered over the years, and specifically Parkland. 17 students shot dead in that event. Remember it, Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High. And he wants to link what he was going through to the fear of those students as somebody's going through shooting them. This is, again, another stretch. And what's worse, it demeans the fear that those students felt. If this guy had the kind of fear that those students did when they're seeing classmates die around them, be shot down, and he's not seeing anything but just hearing people yell, if he was in that kind of fear, well, he is demeaning the students who went through a hell of a lot more. And on top of that, he's trying to build his story off of their tribulation and fear. Why? Oh, it adds to the story. But that's what we're getting from mainstream media now more and more, although I still insist they need to be relabeled instead of MSM to SCM, state-controlled media, because they're pretty much taking direct orders now for the White House and the henchmen around it and the far, far left. You do not see them stepping out and questioning anybody. You have not seen one antagonistic, in-your-face interview from any of the Democrats reference Jen Psaki or Biden. Not one. When they were in Trump's face each and every day, and anyone who stood up there as his spokesperson. And yet they want us to believe that all of this happening at the Capitol is to be laid at the feet of Donald Trump and the GOP members who are supporting him. Jake Tapper again.
This will be what he is remembered for. You know, hundreds of years from now, some presidents aren't even remembered for things. This will be what Donald Trump is remembered for. And the fact that there are going to be dozens of Republican senators who, in all likelihood, vote to not hold Trump accountable for this is just stunning to me, and that will be their legacies.
That will be their legacies. You know what they're saying then? If you dare vote in the Senate to not impeach Donald Trump, then that's going to be part of your legacy, and we will use it against you in the future. Senator Rand Paul, Republican of Kentucky, said, I expect at least 44 Republican senators to acquit Trump. He said, everybody objects to that violence. Everyone is horrified by that violence. But the question is, did the president incite that? And, of course, that's aside from the constitutional question, if this is even constitutional. But as I was stating earlier, you've already got Hillary Clinton suddenly coming forward and saying, if Senate Republicans cannot convict Donald Trump, it won't be because he had the facts or he had a competent defense. She says it will be because the jury includes his co-conspirators. And they want you to know and believe that every senator who will not vote against him, they're also responsible for the violence. Where and when do we hold the Democrats accountable for the violence across the nation this last summer, and even on the very night that Joe Biden was inaugurated, violence continued? Question raised, Congressman Jim Jordan, Republican of Ohio.
Democrats last summer, Democrat members of the Congress, said there needs to be more unrest in the streets while there was unrest in the streets, and somehow that's not incitement. But when the president says peacefully and patriotically, make your voices heard, they're going to impeach him. I mean, this is what Americans so despise. There's lots of things they hate about this town. They hate when we spend their money on crazy things. But what they mostly hate is the hypocrisy and the double standard that the elite in this town get to have. Right now, there's a wall around the Capitol to protect the politicians, but oh, we can't secure the border to protect the country. That's what ticks Americans off more than anything else. And that's why they so appreciated President Trump, because he came here and did what he said and fought for the things American families care about.
And that was, again, what's going to carry forward. You want to take Trump out of the equation? What he brought and what he put on the table was, I'm going to make it work and the way it should. Senator Lindsey Graham said the Dems should be held responsible for what they've incited.
I think most Republicans found the presentation by the House managers offensive and absurd. We all know what happened in the Capitol was terrible. I hope everybody involved that broke into the Capitol goes to jail. But I don't remember any of these House managers saying a damn thing when they were trying to break into my house and going after Susan Collins and spitting on all of us. If this is a problem for a politician to give the speech that President Trump did, well, then Kamala Harris has a real problem, because she actively engaged in bailing out rioters. And here's what I would suggest. If you're a politician trying to raise bail for people accused of rioting, you're inciting more riots.
Absolutely. And they should be held accountable. But they don't. They excuse, explain, justify. Larry Flint, the Hustler magazine empire, has passed away. I did an interview with him. I want to share.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Love and happiness. Wait a minute, something's going wrong. Someone's on the phone, 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, talking about how she can make it right. Yeah.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Larry Flint took his raunchy Hustler magazine and built an empire. At the same time, fought numerous First Amendment court battles. And he did a lot of stunts that you might compare to how Donald Trump has done some things, as far as going a little far for some belief, but at the same time, going for a basic premise he believed in, and that was the First Amendment. He'd been in declining health. He died yesterday at the age of 78. I had a chance to interview Flint when I was working for a television station in St. Louis, CBS station. I also was doing some of the radio work at the same station downstairs, or rather it was upstairs. And so during those radio interview hours, I had numerous guests, and one of them being Larry Flynt. And the occasion was they had just opened a Hustler Club in Washington Park, Illinois, just across the river in Illinois from St. Louis City. We've been trying to get the actual audio of that interview. I have not gotten it from the station where it was, and we've been looking for other sources, and I would still like to recreate it at some point, but we don't have it. I do want to share, though, some of what took place. Now, keep in mind that Flynt was paralyzed from the waist down after a 1978 assassination attempt. And so when I met him, he comes in this gold, at least I don't know how much was gold, but certainly painted gold wheelchair, gold-plated wheelchair for sure, velvet-lined seat, and big burly guy, bouncer, pushing the wheelchair, and another one standing nearby. And we got him up to the microphone and introduced myself. We're in a commercial break or coming out of the news, whatever it was, and then we began the interview. And if I recall right, one of my first questions was, looking at all you've accomplished, almost have to ask why you didn't spend it for other means. In other words, why didn't you apply your talents to something better than promoting pornography? It would immediately became a very tense type interview. Even confined to his wheelchair, you could tell that he stiffened up a little bit and he had his cane nearby, and I didn't think he was going to hit me with it, but at the same time, I could tell his attitude. I do remember that he had been in a U.S. Supreme Court in 83, dealing with a libel suit at that time against the publisher of Penthouse. And during the proceedings in that case, at one time, Flynt had shouted, "F this court." Nothing, talking to the U.S. Supreme Court justices, nothing but add the word and a token C word. Referring to Justice Sandra Day O'Connor. Chief Justice Warren Burger had him arrested for contempt of court, but that charge was later dismissed. So I didn't know what he was going to do. If you do that, the interview I was doing with him was taking place in the late 80s. The guy had taken, when in 65, took $1,800 from savings, bought his mother's bar in Dayton, Ohio, called it the Kiwi, refitted it, soon bringing in $1,000 a week, then opened up other bars and sometimes working 20 hours a day. And then in 72, he created the Hustler Newsletter, two-page black and white publication about his clubs, and then, of course, moved forward to come up with the Hustler magazine, first published in 74. First few issues, pretty much unnoticed, but then he began to publish full nudity shots, which Playboy and others were not doing. And during one legal battle that Flynt was having, he was returning to a county court in Georgia when he and his attorney were shot in front of the courthouse by gunmen standing in an alley across the street. It left Flynt partially paralyzed, permanent spinal cord damage, needing the wheelchair, leaving him in excruciating pain. A white supremacist later confessed to the shootings, claiming he was outraged by an interracial photo shoot that appeared in Hustler. Larry Flynt, the movie, People vs. Larry Flynt, 1996. Flynt actually makes a cameo appearance. We'll continue looking for the actual audio of that interview. But I will say this, that seeing he passed away today, it kind of flashed back as to that interview and his persona. It was captivating. It was dominating. Larry Flynt, dead at age 78. As always, we appreciate you listening. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.